Blog Talk Radio.
For radio as God-free as our Constitution, tune in to Free Thought Radio.
Rogue priests, anti-abortion laws sweeping the country, creationist defeats, and even a few irreverent jokes.
All that, plus an interview with atheist and activist Jennifer Taylor,
a former Jehovah's Witness who now heads Rationalists of East Tennessee.
This is the news in brief from the United Nations. Secretary General Antonio Guterres has pledged to fight for every Cypriot in future talks on the divided Mediterranean island as a new effort to break the impasse ended without finding common ground. Speaking at the UN in Geneva, Mr. Guterres said that there was agreement that he would convene another meeting of the Turkish Cypriot and Greek Cypriot communities and guarantor powers Turkey, Greece and the UK in the near future.
My agenda is strictly to fight for the security and well-being of the Cypriots, of the Greek Cypriots and the Turkish Cypriots that deserve to live in peace and prosperity together.
4 years ago, Mr. Guterres attempted to bring the two sides to a deal at the Swiss ski resort of Crans-Montana, where detailed talks ultimately broke down. Six main issues were on the table, including security and guarantees, new territorial boundaries and power sharing. This time round, the UN chief explained that the Turkish Cypriot delegation's position was that efforts to negotiate a bi-zonal, bi-communal federation had been exhausted, in contrast to the Greek Cypriot position. The development represents the latest UN-led effort to resolve decades of tensions in Cyprus and between the Turkish Cypriot North and the Greek Cypriot South, whose communities have been split since 1974. As many as 20,000 people in northeast Syria have been forced to flee following an escalation of violence in Qamishli City, UN humanitarians have warned. United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said that three people had been killed, including two children, and that crossfire had wounded others. Armed clashes and shelling, including ground strikes on military positions, erupted between armed groups in the residential neighborhoods of Harat Tay and Halko in Qashmili City on the 20th of April. A negotiated ceasefire was agreed 5 days later, and reports indicate that hundreds of families had returned home. Condemning the violence, the UN's top aid officials in Syria and the region called on all warring parties to maintain the ceasefire on Wednesday. They reminded all parties to the conflict that the protection of civilians was paramount and that the blatant disregard for civilian safety runs contrary to international human rights law. A planned $180 million cut to the UN's Agency for Sexual and Reproductive Health, the UNFPA, will have devastating consequences for women, girls and their families across the world, it said on Thursday. When funding stops, women and girls suffer, UNFPA Executive Director Dr. Natalia Kenem said in a statement, highlighting the potential impact on the poor, those living in remote, underserved communities, and others affected by humanitarian crises. According to the UN agency, the funding would have helped to prevent around 250,000 maternal and child deaths, 14.6 million unintended pregnancies, and 4.3 million unsafe abortions. Reiterating the rights of women and girls to access to modern contraceptives, Dr. Kenem called on the agency's partners and allies to secure UNFPA programs. Katie Dartford, UN News.
This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Stan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Living
Welcome to Free Thought Radio. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is radio for the rest of us, us sinners, us non-believers, free thinkers, and nuns, N-O-N-E-S.
And I'm Dan Barker, co-host of Free Thought Radio. This is the April 29th, 2021 edition of Free Thought Radio. Annie Laurie and I are still hosting from our safe-at-home studio in Madison, Wisconsin, while Buzz Kemper is engineering from his studio down by the Wisconsin State Capitol called Audio for the Arts. So this is April 29th. Do you know what happened exactly 15 years ago on April 29th, 2006?
Well, I only know because you told me that was the original debut of Free Thought Radio. And we can hear what happened on that April 29th, 2006. Hi, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, and welcome to the debut of Free Thought Radio. We invite everyone, regardless of your views, to listen, to participate, to get acquainted with free thinkers and with free thought.
Our new program, Free Thought Radio, is the only weekly radio broadcast anywhere in North America coming from the secular point of view. This radio broadcast represents the viewpoint of the significant 14% of the U.S. population who are not religious, whether they call themselves rationalists, freethinkers, atheists, agnostics, skeptics, or simply unchurched. And as you know, you can turn on TV or radio at virtually any time and hear religion, sermons, faith healing, and pious pitches. The airwaves are inundated with religion, but there has been no alternative for the rest of us.
Radio for the rest of us, and we hope someday you will join us. So that was our first show 15 years ago. And Annie Laurie, your voice sounds just the same then as it,
really?
As it does now. So we are 15 years old now, and as you were listening to that, have you noticed something that has changed?
Well,
since
yes.
Then?
The 14% of us who are non-religious is now 26%, at least 26% unaffiliated. And of the growing numbers of Gen Zs, 21% actively identify as atheist or agnostic. So huge changes.
Maybe because of our show.
Well,
right?
We can certainly take credit at the Freedom From Religion Foundation for everything we've done to try to popularize free thought and reach out. And it's a great change. So congratulations to everyone who's listening for what you've done to promote this change. And, of course, we're still the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, working to keep religion out of government and to educate the point of view of you, the non-believer. And we hope you'll join us, as we said before, on that first show at FFRF.org.
We're now more than 35,000 members.
So, Dan, I have said we need more jokes again on Free Thought Radio.
Well, I was talking with Buzz Kemper, our engineer producer, over there by the Capitol. Are you there, Buzz?
I am indeed. Hello, Annie Laurie. Hello, Dan.
So you said last week that you have a joke that you could tell that's relevant?
I do. Back in college, I took a lot of philosophy classes, and there were a lot of philosophy jokes. Most of them were very bad, but this one wasn't too bad. This one's actually almost funny. Famous philosopher René Descartes walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Hello, René. Beautiful day." Descartes says, "I think not." And then he disappeared.
I get it.
So we have a T-shirt that says, "I think, therefore, I'm an atheist."
I'm an atheist. So, Buzz, I was going to say, if you were going to tell a joke about a horse next, be sure you get Descartes before the horse.
Oh.
So I have a joke, too. There was a homeless man, and they found him really sick on the sidewalk. So they took him to the Catholic hospital, and he got better after a few weeks there. And the nurse came in, the Catholic nurse came in and said, "Well, you're about ready to be released now. How are you going to pay for this?" And the homeless guy said, "Well, I'm homeless. I don't have any money." And she said, "Well, do you have any relatives or that could help you?" And he said, "No, my parents are dead. And all I have is a sister, but she can't. My sister's a nun. She's an old spinster nun, so she can't help." And the nurse said, "I beg your pardon. Nuns are not spinsters. Nuns are married to Jesus." And the guy says, "Well, then send the bill to my brother-in-law."
Okay.
Do you have a laugh track, Buzz?
Uh-huh.
So in the second half of today's show, who are we going to talk to, Dan?
We're going to talk about Free Thought in Tennessee. Our guest will be Jennifer Taylor. She's the new president of the Rationalists of East Tennessee. She was raised Jehovah's Witness. She'll tell us why and how she escaped religion to become a happy atheist. And she'll tell us what she and the Tennessee Freethinkers are doing to promote reason and state-church separation in that state.
And on our weekly TV show, Free Thought Matters, our guests this week are Daniel Weissman and his daughter, Debbie Weissman, who took the successful case about graduation prayer, ending graduation prayer. It was in Rhode Island public schools. It was decided by the Supreme Court in 1992. Debbie was a teenager at that time, and three decades later, looking very much the same, she is still proud of that victory, and she explains a little bit about why they took that case.
I am uncomfortable with somebody else's religion being forced on me in a public setting, especially in a public school. Why would I ever want to force my religion on somebody else? It's my religion culturally. It's not my religion as a religion. I'm not a religious person. But I do identify as Jewish, and it's not the time and place, simply put. There's no reason for it. Separation of church and state is very clear and simple to me, and I've never understood why it's complicated for people.
So these are true champions of the First Amendment. I think we need to explain that when they complained about Christian ministers doing prayers at commencements, they brought in a rabbi because the family is nominally Jewish. And so she is explaining why this is still an affront.
And why that missed the
right
point. So you can watch that entire Free Thought Matters interview with Debbie and her dad, Daniel Weissman, this Sunday on broadcast TV in Chicago, Denver, Houston, Los Angeles, Madison, Minneapolis, New York City, Phoenix, Portland, Oregon, Sacramento, Seattle, Washington, D.C., and San Francisco.
And it'll be going on through May on all those stations, and then we take a summer hiatus. So for stations and times, check fffrf.org/news. There's a drop-down for Free Thought Matters, but you can watch that show today. It's up. We post it every Thursday, so it's live there.
And we also have a weekly live show on Facebook. It's called Ask an Atheist, where you can ask us questions in real time. Yesterday, I was joined by FFRF's Director of Communications, Amit Pal, to talk about how the current COVID tragedy in India is driven largely by religion. India's President Modi is a true believer.
Unlike Trump, who was so cynical in his acquiescence to Christian nationalism, Modi actually believes in that stuff. He has grown up in the Hindutva, or the political Hindu movement, the RSS, the fountainhead of Hindu nationalism since he was 8 years old. And so he has that mindset. And so at several levels, the Hindu nationalist ideology has contributed to the catastrophe which is befelling India right now. He and the person in charge of this mountain state allowed this huge Ganges festival, which is meant to take place every 12 years and was not even supposed to happen this year, but get this, because the astrological alignment was auspicious, they let it go ahead. Millions bathed, more than almost 2,000 cases. One of the head sages died, and a number of other people, politicians, prominent personalities, ordinary people, have gotten infected, has taught them nothing. They are promising that other pilgrimages will quite certainly be allowed to take place. Let's hope they change their mind.
So you can see that very important discussion about this humanitarian crisis and all previous Ask an Atheist shows on FFRF's YouTube channel. You can subscribe to Ask an Atheist or Free Thought Matters. And you can also join us live to ask a question Wednesdays at noon central on FFRF's Facebook page.
So speaking of India and Indian heritage, FFRF is celebrating the confirmation of Vanita Gupta as the Associate Attorney General of the United States. She's a civil rights attorney who previously served as president of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, of which FFRF is a member, the first woman of color and civil rights attorney to serve as Associate Attorney General.
And we want to welcome the investigation here in the state of Wisconsin by the Department of Justice into clergy abuse, particularly the Roman Catholic clergy abuse, serial sexual abuse, and cover-up. I had asked Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call some time ago to launch this investigation, as several other states have done, and so had many other advocates of the victims and survivors of priestly sex abuse. And we had written that letter in January, so we're delighted to see this investigation launched. And speaking of rogue priests, this week we also condemned what is going on in La Crosse, Wisconsin, where there's a loose cannon Catholic priest who has currently set his sights on attacking COVID-19 mitigation efforts. And this is Reverend James Altman, who got a lot of attention last fall, and we complained about how he told parishioners they would go to hell if they voted for a Democrat. So he's back at it, and he talked about the godless madness of pandemic mitigation efforts on a video on Palm Sunday. He compared them to Nazis, kept going after the godless, and then he held an illegal event basically on Easter. They had 500 people at his church. Many were not wearing masks. 170 walked up to receive communion, many by mouth. And then he is spreading lies and disinformation. Don't be a guinea pig. God is still the best doctor, and prayer is still the best medicine. So we've asked the diocese there in La Crosse to rein him in. And we also have we have some good news coming up, but we have very concerning, frightening news about the rampant escalation of anti-abortion legislation passing at the state level. And I'm sure you're aware, but even I had forgotten how many of these bad laws have been passed in the last couple of weeks until our intern, our Ann Nicole Gala reproductive rights intern, Barbara Alvarez, put them together. She has a blog today. And there have been more than 516 abortion restrictions introduced just this year. This is up from 300 at the same time frame 2 years ago. Medication abortion bans and restrictions and anti-abortion constitutional amendments have tripled. We have seen just this month governors in Montana, Arizona, South Dakota, Wyoming, Oklahoma, and Idaho sign sweeping anti-abortion legislation that will severely restrict abortion care and jeopardize women's health. For instance, Montana's bill restricts abortions past 20 weeks of gestation, prevents women from obtaining medical abortion via telehealth. And, of course, all of this is geared at getting anti-abortion bans up to the U.S. Supreme Court, where they think they're going to overturn Roe versus Wade. So if you're a member of FFRF, you've been getting our action alerts on this. Take action, and it is certainly a call for the need for court reform and expansion.
Former Senator Rick Santorum is now employed by CNN, and FFRF's Director of Strategic Response, Andrew Seidel, wrote an open letter to CNN complaining about his bigotry and disinformation about how America is supposedly a Christian nation. Listen to what Santorum said.
Think about this country. I don't know of any other country in the world that was settled predominantly by people who were coming to practice their faith. And so they came here mostly from Europe. And they set up a country that was based on Judeo-Christian principles, the Mosaic laws, Ten Commandments, and the teachings of Jesus Christ. That's what our founding documents are based upon. We came here and created a blank slate. We birthed a nation from nothing. I mean, there's nothing here. I mean, yes, we have Native Americans, but candidly, that there isn't much Native American culture in American culture. It was born of the people who came here pursuing religious liberty.
So Santorum was wrong on so many counts, and Andrew's letter pointed out not only the erroneous Christian nationalism claims he made, but also Native Americans have been really objecting to his comments about how there's no real Native American culture in this country.
And you're a member of the Delaware tribe.
Of a tribe, yeah, that welcomed these colonists to come over here to practice whatever their religious faith was. So we're almost out of time here. Last week we announced the good news that a proposed bill in Arkansas to allow creationism in the schools failed to pass the Senate Education Committee. After we complained, and some of you Arkansas complained, after listening to some of the testimony, FFRF attorney Chris Lyons sent one of the school districts a letter warning that the practice of creationism appears to be happening right now in their schools. Here's what Senator James Sturge revealed during that committee meeting.
So is my biology teacher down the hall breaking the state law because he's already teaching creationism as a theory? What is currently allowed for them to do as far as teaching theories? I eat lunch with the biology teacher down the hall when I'm there every day, and I know that he doesn't believe in the evolution theory, yet he teaches both. He teaches both creationism theory and the evolution theory, one right after the other, treats them both equally, lets the kids have the discussion, and lets the kids kind of decide on their own which is more feasible. And to me, that was always the right approach. It's just, like I said, I'm not against this as far as that goes. It's just that I wanted to make sure we're not going to limit that.
So immediately after Sturge's comments in favor of this creation bill, Senator Linda Chesterfield explained why she voted against the bill.
Representative Bentley already knows that I'm going to have a real problem with this bill. And one of the reasons being Arkansas had a creationism bill when Frank White was governor of the state of Arkansas. And we made national news. And it was not good national news. I worry because if someone of Muslim faith teaches their theory of creationism to basically Christian children, there's going to be a problem. If a Hindu teacher teaches their version of creationism, there's going to be a problem. Because the only thing we think about when we think about creationism is that God created heaven and earth and da-da-da-da-da, as we read in Genesis. But we can't just think about it as our theory as it relates to our particular religion. We are allowing everybody's theory of creationism to be taught. So that's one of the reasons I'm going to be opposed to it.
Senator Chesterfield got it right. When you mix religion and public education, you raise serious problems.
And you raise students who don't know science. Stay tuned for Jennifer Taylor, who will tell us why and how she left the Jehovah's Witnesses to become the new director of the Rationalists of East Tennessee.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
Hi, I'm Steve Pinker. In my book, Enlightenment Now, I show that the world has become a better place as reason has been overcoming superstition and tribalism. But the values of the Enlightenment are under attack. That's why I'm a proud member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest association of free thinkers working to keep state and church separate. Please join me in supporting the Freedom From Religion Foundation to ensure that our government is driven not by religion, but by reason.
Beware of dogma. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Welcome back. I'm Dan Barker. We want to remind you, next Thursday is May Day for Humanity, a joint effort by many of the national secular organizations, including FFRF, a night of entertainment to help those impacted by hunger and hopelessness, with Leanne Lord, the comedian, Julia Sweeney, John Davidson, and Hemant Mehta, and Andrianne, the science writer, and Penn and Teller, and many others, Thursday, May 6th. If you want to know how to attend it, just do a web search for May Day for Humanity and help us help the homeless during this difficult time.
And it's 7 p.m. Eastern time, so it's entertainment for you in the evening. Anybody working during the day can enjoy this, and we want to make a good show. And, you know, that is the National Day of Prayer, which is unconstitutional, in which FFRF took a brilliant case and won at the federal level, showing it was unconstitutional, got thrown out on standing, not the merits, at the federal level. And to counter the National Day of Prayer, we have the Congressional Freethought Caucus championing a National Day of Reason, and they are have a bill, a resolution for the day after the National Day of Prayer, which is Friday, May 7th. And we want you to contact your member of Congress and get them in on it. There's a bunch of supporters, including Jamie Raskin, Jared Huffman, Mark Pocan, Eleanor Holmes Norton, Jerry McNerney, and Primula Jayapal. But we want more sponsors. There's an action alert going out today. If you're a member, you can go find our action alert at FFRF.org under news, and hopefully we can get more sponsors and have a national day of reason.
So our first show was exactly 15 years ago, April 29, 2006. And we played a song during that first year that we have not played since. It was the first song I wrote when I came out of the ministry and became an atheist, a song about original sin. And it's on one of our, it's on the Friendly Neighborhood Atheist CD. So let's go back 15 years or more, actually, and listen to You Can't Win with Original Sin.
First time in public, which was at our 1984 Freedom from Religion Foundation convention.
And my voice, you can tell, was a lot higher back then.
Yeah, and we had just met. I was very impressed. So stay tuned for Jennifer Taylor, who will tell us why and how she left the Jehovah's Witnesses and is now director of the Rationalists of East Tennessee. I'm Annie Laurie Geller.
And I'm Dan Barker. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Free Thought Radio.
I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom from Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective organization of atheists and agnostics, working to keep state and church separate. Phone 1-800-335-4021, 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom from Religion Foundation at FFRF.org. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
It ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller, here with Dan Barker. We're co-presidents of the Freedom from Religion Foundation, which produces Free Thought Radio.
And Buzz just said, it ain't necessarily so. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible ain't necessarily so. This is radio for the rest of us. Atheists, agnostics, non-believers, skeptics, secular humanists. And our legal staff has been very busy complaining about state church violations all over the country, especially in Tennessee. Tennessee wants to make the Bible the state book, and Tennessee has been on our radar for a long time. Well, we have a very active chapter in Tennessee, in East Tennessee, the FFRF chapter of East Tennessee, led by Alita Ledendecker, whom we've had on the show before. There's also a wonderful group, an older group in East Tennessee called the Rationalists of East Tennessee, R-E-T. And I think members of both groups go to all the meetings. They're also working for state church separation. And they just elected a new president of the Rationalists of East Tennessee. Her name is Jennifer Taylor, whom we have on the phone with us today, talking with us from Knoxville. So thanks for joining us today, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
So you were just elected just recently to be the new president?
Yes. Yeah. It's been a whirlwind and also a challenge, just dealing with
the pandemic.
in a pandemic, especially since we've had to cease having live meetings for about a year. So we're hoping to get back to live meetings very soon.
So
you know,
Jennifer,
as more and more people get vaccinated.
Yes. And Jennifer, you previously were you from Pennsylvania? I know you worked with Margaret Downey on the board of the Freethought Society there.
Yes. I was living in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's where I'm originally from. And in addition to the Freethought Society, I'm also the organizer for Black Atheists of Philadelphia. And we've been in existence for, it's going on about 10 years now. So, and then I also up north, I participated in a lot of different groups like Madison Atheists, Humanists of Greater Philadelphia, the Free Thought Society, of course, and also the Philadelphia Core of Reason. So
they're going to miss you. They're going to miss you up there. Now you move down to Tennessee.
They do. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I miss them as well.
So we want to talk about the Black Atheists also of Philadelphia. But tell me, how does Pennsylvania and Tennessee compare? Are the same problems, or is it worse down in Tennessee?
Well, as far as I think it's very similar, but there's definitely a stronger. I mean, we're right in the buckle of the Bible Belt, so it's you know a lot more pressure for. Forcing religion into every space.
yeah.
But in Pennsylvania, it's kind of, it depends on the environment that you're in. Here, it's just everywhere.
So, Jennifer, before we talk more about what you're doing there, we want to learn more about your background, because I understand that you were raised in a household with both Jehovah's Witness parent and a Southern Baptist parent. Seems like a double whammy. So what was that like? And, you know, we want to find out, you know, how you thought your way out of that.
It was a very, very interesting experience. I became skeptical around the age of six when one of the Jehovah's Witnesses came to the house to give me a Bible study. And they ended up using this book called My Book of Bible Stories, which is a very graphic, deeply disturbing children's book that has pictures of some of the scenes in the Bible. And she wanted to talk to me about the flood. So in that flood picture, we saw people drowning and crying and animals drowning, and it was disturbing. And I happened to ask the woman, hey, well, what happened to the dinosaurs? And she told me that dinosaurs were created in order to flatten the earth enough for humans to be able to walk upon it, sort of like you're walking on bubble wrap, something of that effect.
That makes sense.
So the dinosaurs fulfilled what their purpose was. God got rid of them, did away with them. They became extinct.
Wow.
And I said, well, what's going to happen when God is done with us? And from that age, I started thinking that, there is a God, but he's a horrible God who enjoys watching us suffer, drowns us, and threatens us with fire the next time. Huh. So even though I was skeptical at that point, I didn't have the words or the language to express what that meant. And when you're a child, you're told to go to church, and you don't get a choice in the matter. So it was pretty interesting. Going to the Kingdom Hall, they were built like a bread box. No windows, nothing on the walls, no pictures, anything.
That's
and
right.
Everything was...
I've always noticed that from the outside.
From
it's like a fortress.
It's like a fortress.
Well, what I was told was that when Armageddon comes, we're supposed to rush to our local Kingdom Hall, and that's where we're supposed to shelter in place while God is destroying all the evildoers of the world. So it was. I was like, okay, so a building's supposed to shelter us from that, like fire and whatnot? Okay. It makes sense. And
so
then
did you go door to door?
Yes. I did have to go. I didn't actually knock on the doors, but I was definitely dragged along with some of the adults that went and knocked on the doors. And at the time they were trying to sell, Watchtower and Awake magazines to people. And, a lot of people slammed doors in the face or didn't even bother to answer or, see us coming and run.
Right.
but there were a few people that opened the door, and I was like, of all the things to be doing on a Saturday morning, I'd rather be outside playing.
I had that feeling when I occasionally will see Jehovah's Witnesses in our neighborhood always dragging a very small child, and I think that's just not good.
Well, that's almost child abuse, to deny them of.
It's at least not very child-centered. And so were you raised as Jehovah's Witness even though you did have a parent who was Southern Baptist?
Yes. My parents had me go to both. So I was with Jehovah's Witnesses most Sundays and Thursdays, but any other time I was with my father at the Southern Baptist Church on Saturdays for some meetings, maybe Wednesdays for watching for choir rehearsal. And then on Sundays, we were doing first service, second service, and third service. So it was a very long day. We would start out the church about 7:30 in the morning and not get home until maybe 9 o'clock at night, 8 or 9 o'clock at night after being in church all day. So
wow.
So now you don't believe anymore. So what happened? Did you just grow out of it, or did you never believe?
I was always skeptical, but I did believe in a God. But I thought eventually I came to think that this God figure was an entity that should be hunted down and destroyed. That's kind of where I went with it. And then from there I went to maybe there's a God, maybe there's not. I guess I'm spiritual, and I used to tell people that because I didn't want to get into the conversation of, hey, I just don't believe this crap. I don't see the logic here. And eventually I just stopped saying that. And just saying, hey, I just don't believe in it at all.
So Jehovah Witnesses are famous for shunning family members who leave the fold. How did your family react?
Well, my family because I was never baptized within the Jehovah's Witness religion, there is no way for me, for them to shun me. But I have, I've had family members, like I had an uncle who was an elder in the Kingdom Hall, who was shunned for adultery, and he ended up, his daughter was in the process of getting married, and during her wedding, they made him stand out in the vestibule of the Kingdom Hall because he could not be inside to watch his own daughter get married. And wow. He was not invited to the reception. And in addition to that, they ended up, distancing themselves from him, all the children and everyone. And he got so lonely and missed his family so much that it was somewhere between 10 and 12 years that he decided to go back into the Kingdom Hall because he missed his children so much. And that was the only way his family would have anything to do with him.
So we have to take a break, Jennifer. We have to take a break, and when we come back, I want to ask you, what did the black atheists of Pennsylvania or Philadelphia do, and then what are you doing now? What are the rationalists of East Tennessee doing to promote reason and state-church separation? We're talking with Jennifer Taylor, who is the new president of the Rationalists of East Tennessee. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
We'll be right back with more Free Thought Radio.
I'm Julia Sweeney, and I'm an atheist and former Catholic. I even wrote a play about it called Letting Go of God. Right now, Catholic bishops are using their considerable influence to deny women contraceptive rights. Please join the Freedom From Religion Foundation and help keep church and state separate. You can call 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit ffrf.org to stand up for true religious freedom.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. Welcome back. And we're continuing our talk with Jennifer Taylor. She's the brand new president of the Rationalists of East Tennessee. Believe it or not, there are some thinkers and rationalists in the state of Tennessee, which wants to make the Bible the state book. Jennifer Taylor was telling us, Jennifer, thanks for joining us. You were telling us you were raised Southern Baptist and Jehovah's Witness, and I wanted to ask you something quickly here. Is there something we can say when a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door and knocks on the door? Should I ignore that, or is there something I could say that would actually make a difference to you?
Well, considering the Jehovah's Witnesses that I grew up with, it's pretty hardcore, and they do not really encourage education, critical thinking, or rational thought whatsoever in their personal lives as well as their religious lives. So that would be a hard question to answer because they're not really apt to listen.
Hmm. Yes, and I think that is a hallmark of the Jehovah's Witnesses, that they do so clearly discourage education.
Yeah.
They do. Their young people are encouraged to go into field service, which is going around and knocking on doors, or the pathway to becoming elders, which is usually only reserved for men. And that's it. Going away to college is deeply discouraged. And even watching television and certain shows that may feature like anything having to do with magic or familiar spirits like mediums and things of that sort.
Harry Potter, probably.
No. Many of the kids that I went to the hall with were not even allowed to watch television. And back in the day, one of the cartoons that was popular was the Smurfs. And I remember talking about the Smurfs, and they were like, "What's that? We don't even know." And they don't participate in holidays either. So they always stuck out.
I always wonder. That must be hard in a public school too. Now that you're free of the Jehovah's Witnesses, are you a big birthday promoter? I mean, do you now celebrate those in a big way?
I do
make up for last
my
time?
Birthday.
Well, good.
I do celebrate my birthday and others' birthdays. However, I don't celebrate Easter or Christmas. To me, those holidays are based on pagan rituals, and I'm not religious. I'm not pagan, so I just never saw the point of it. But I do not condemn others for deciding that that's what they would like to do with their families and have at it, have fun.
So you did go to school. You did eventually become a successful, educated woman. So congratulations on that. But I want to talk about Philadelphia. You were involved with on the board with Black Atheists of Pennsylvania. Is that right, or Philadelphia? What did that group do?
So Black Atheists of Philadelphia was established, and I happened to join the group back in 2012, and that was a group that was formed in order to have a safe space for Black, African American, people of color to participate and talk about their experiences. And we used to host meetings within a mall food court and just meet on a Sunday while everyone's in church and talk about their experiences. One of the reasons why we had the Black Atheists of Philadelphia is because some of our experiences were not the same as many of the other secular groups in the area. I actually spoke with many members who were not open about their atheism at all. And or the ones that were open, there were some that were actually thrown out of their homes, or their parents offered to stop paying for their education, or they were in relationships with people who were religious and had a hard time navigating those types of situations. But one of the things that stood out is that once you leave the church, in many cases within the Black community, you're leaving community altogether. You're basically having to start all over. You don't have connection to friends and family and people that you grew up with, because many of them go to church. And it's really wrapped up pretty tightly within the Black community and culture.
So they're looking for community and connections and friendship. Well, that's
yes.
A basic human drive, isn't it? We're social animals. So.
Right.
So
and,
now down.
I did. Okay.
No, go ahead.
And I did try to establish a group called, Unchurched Black Atheists of Knoxville. And one of the things that stood out in Knoxville versus Pennsylvania is that I know several Black atheists in the area, and then many of them, because of how strong the buckle of the Bible Belt is as far as religion, have since left the area. They don't want to deal with it at all. So they've actually moved away. And others have been like, "Jen, I see what you're doing, and I want to be a part of it, but I can't participate because I still attend church, even though I'm an atheist, because some of these services that churches offer are ones well, they'll help me with food. They'll help me with clothing for my kids and childcare and different things like that. And they don't want to leave that behind, those human needs. They don't want to leave those behind. And some of them are just like, hey, I don't want to be seen with you. I don't want to be seen in an atheist group. I don't want to participate in any of it because I'll lose everything. I may lose my job. I may lose my family. So it's definitely more intense in the South for a black person that's trying to come out as an atheist.
So we have just a minute left here, Jen. So you're now the new president of the Rationalist of East Tennessee, RET. Tell us about that group and what are your goals and your activities?
Yes, so Rationalist of East Tennessee, it's a group that has secular humanists, atheists, even a few deists, people who are generally interested in having cerebral conversations and learning about science and also participating in separation of church and state initiatives, all of which I'm interested in. So I actually came down to the area, and RET was one of the first groups that I attended in the area, along with Atheist Society of Knoxville and the Sunday Assembly of Knoxville. And they were just the most welcoming people, and I just started going to those meetings and eventually joined the board. And I was VP last year, and this year I'm the president. So what I'm hoping, yes?
Well, it looks like the group is in really good hands, so... we're out of time, Jennifer. Jennifer Taylor is the new president of the Rationalists of East Tennessee. You can just do an internet search for RET, Rationalists of East Tennessee. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for listening to Free Thought Radio. You listeners in Philadelphia to WOOMLP, in Madison, Wisconsin to WIDE and WMUU, Janesville, Wisconsin, WADR, Bryan, Texas, KEOS. Over in Missouri, KOPN in Columbia, Missouri. KEPW in Eugene, Oregon. KZSM in San Marcos, Texas. Hello to Black Sheep Radio, WOOL in Vermont, New Hampshire. And WRFI in Ithaca and Watkins Glen, New York. If you're listening to the podcast, tell your friends to look up Free Thought Radio at ffrf.org/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or simply join us. But if you do ask for information, we'll be glad to send you a sample of our lively monthly newspaper, Free Thought Today, where there's a lot more information than we can always impart on this 40-minute show. And you will support our vital work to educate the public about non-theism and keep religion out of government. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio on Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.